Running play for Gordon. Trying to loop around. Finds an opening, and there goes Gordon. Down the sideline. Does Gordon have enough speed to take it all the way? Melvin Gordon. He's in. Touchdown, Chargers. 87-yard rip.
This game, the Rams starting from their 29. Todd Gurley back in the game, and here's what the Rams wanted from him. Todd Gurley. Touchdown. Who's going to be the player to break out and be the spark? Try Todd Gurley. 71 yards for the touchdown. Never touched. And the Rams take the lead.
Brady. End zone. Caught by Brown. Touchdown, New England. Antonio Brown, the newest Patriot, plunging into the stands in his hometown.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on a Friday. It's time for the Mac Attack on 920 The Game. I'm your host, Ryan McKinnell. Got Chris Chapman across the way. And yes, as you heard in the open, running backs on the move. A lot of people on the move in the last, what, 3 or 4 days in the NFL, Magnum. This has been a historic week in terms of, well, our self-imposed quarantine and our social distancing, but also in terms of NFL free agency. It's just been kind of ridiculous, to be perfectly honest. Like, when you look at what's happened, first of all, you heard the Melvin Gordon highlight right there. Melvin Gordon, formerly of the LA Chargers, looking like he's going to land in Denver. But if you would have told me, Magnum, I don't know, after the conclusion of the Super Bowl, that Tom Brady would be at the Bucs, Todd Gurley would be with the Falcons, DeAndre Hopkins would be with the Cardinals, Stephon Diggs would be at the Bills, Phillip Rivers would be with the Colts, and Teddy Bridgewater would be at the Panthers, I would have told you were crazy. Like, the landscape of the NFL has shifted in very real ways just over the last, I don't know, few days.
Yeah, I mean, free agency is always a fun time, but I think we're dealing with some of the biggest names in the league on the move. And I think the Brady one, we weren't sure is it going to happen.
Right.
I think we all kind of had a hunch.
I still don't think you reacted as happily as you needed to being a Jets fan.
Well,
was it that you didn't think it was real? Were you waiting for the other shoe to fall? Is it that you don't think the NFL season is actually going to be played?
Well, no, it's because, quite honestly, I think Belichick is the brains.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
And I think Belichick will have success without Brady.
And what do you think about Brady? No success without Belichick?
No. I don't think it will be as successful as you know, I don't think the Bucs will go to the Super
Bowl.
Well,
let me ask you this as you talk about success, because I'm interested to get your thoughts. I just mentioned it. Listen to it again. Brady to the Bucs, Gurley to the Falcons, Hopkins to the Cardinals, Diggs to the Bills, Rivers to the Colts, Bridgewater to the Panthers. Which one of those moves do you think is going to help their team the most?
Well, you know I like Bridgewater.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a good move. I'm not sure Rivers is going to help the Colts. I just don't think Rivers quite has it anymore. I mean, if you watched him last season, you saw a guy who was basically, well, he looked like he was at the end of the line.
Yeah.
I think the Melvin Gordon move is good. But, you know, running backs are, it's hard to judge running backs. I'm not sure Gurley to Atlanta is good. I mean, it's kind of home for him, right? I mean, he's a Georgia Bulldog.
Listen, assuming that he can stay healthy, now he does have, I believe, an arthritic knee, which is what limited him 2 years ago and what, I mean, even last year, I think he still was injured, but he still had
important.
A decent season. I think he had 11 touchdowns.
Staying healthy, obviously, is the most important thing, but if he doesn't, then it's kind of a, meh, oh well.
Yeah, he was injured last year and he had 12 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's pretty
Atlanta
impressive.
Atlanta could use that.
Oh, yeah, they could, absolutely. And speaking of, well, the reason I asked you is because, honestly, out of that whole list that I just read off, there are some enticing options there. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater with Christian McCaffrey sitting there with the Panthers.
Yeah.
That definitely has piqued my interest. But the one that I can't get away from is, what is Kyler Murray going to do with DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, yeah, well.
Because that, I mean, last year when Kyler Murray didn't have a whole lot.
He was still pretty good.
Yeah, I believe 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now. Let me pull it up as I'm sitting here running off stats. I was right about the 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, which is great for a rookie, but then 3,700 yards passing. Now, you add DeAndre Hopkins, a man
thousand-yard receiver.
Right, where all the attention, well, not all the attention, but a lot of the attention is now off of Larry Fitzgerald, who becomes able to kind of do his own thing and run free.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, they have a couple decent options, right? Christian Kirk is also down there in Arizona, so he'll obviously be the slot guy. Cardinals, you know, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it works with Cliff Kingsbury running the show, but, I mean, he's a guy who will definitely open it up and yeah, he's a guy who will definitely open it up you know, I think we'll see something different in the NFL out of the Cardinals, whether it works or not. I don't really know, but you know, I guess we'll find out. We'll find out what's going to happen there. It's interesting to see because obviously that style has never really worked in the NFL. We've never really seen the air raid in the NFL, so it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, you mean from Murray's standpoint? We haven't got to see. Well, yeah, it's only been a year, number one, and yes, what weapons did he have? All due respect to Larry Fitzgerald, who is a weapon.
Yes.
He's, as you said, an aging weapon.
Yes.
Now, you bring in that young blood, and I've said it, you know, I said it on this show all week, DeAndre Hopkins, in my mind, is the best wide receiver in the NFL. You put him with a young, hungry, determined Kyler Murray, who everyone said should have played baseball anyway, and do you really want to come and, you know, the NFL and
you're
yada, yada,
play
yada.
The Cardinals.
Right. So,
well, and Diggs as well. Diggs is a good move for the Bills because they get Josh Allen, that number one receiver, that number one threat. They do it at the time when Tom Brady seems to be, well, he's out of New England now. They were in the playoffs last year. They played two really close games against the Patriots. So that's one of those moves that I think kind of got overshadowed by the DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I still think, though, as we sit here and we kind of pontificate, and all these are Bridgewater, the Panthers, I mean, all these are pretty interesting moves in their own right. Like, I think they can all be argued that, well, not all of them, but most of them can be argued that these moves are going to make significant upgrades to their teams. But the Todd Gurley to Atlanta move is very interesting because Atlanta was not as bad as they showed last year. They're in a tough division. We know that, obviously, with the Saints and the Panthers. But this is still a team that, I got to be honest, I still believe in Matt Ryan. I don't think we've seen the last of Matt Ryan in terms of being a near, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league, top 10 for sure. I think he has that capability.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback's in that division.
I know.
Wow.
I know. But, I mean, you're right, you just had Tom Brady. Julio Jones, Todd Gurley, Matt Ryan. I like that three-headed monster.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Todd Gurley
presumably. Calvin Ridley as well.
That's right. Great point. Now they lost Hooper. Which is
a big loss.
Oh, it's a huge loss.
Yeah, I mean,
massive.
He's one of the best tight ends in the league.
Now, I will say this: the money that he got,
maybe a little overpaid.
Yeah. So
it's Cleveland.
Well, I mean, Cleveland—that's kind of their thing—is collecting names.
Yeah.
Whether that actually works out for them, I don't know. I still very much believe in Cleveland. I think that year two was probably a bit of an anomaly. I think that this team goes as Baker Mayfield goes. And that's a good and a bad thing. Baker Mayfield is still young.
Yeah.
He's still maturing. We saw that in year one. That cockiness and that confidence is that youth is what partly made him, I think, as flashy and as exciting as he was in year one. Year two, I think we saw a product of that. As this team is very clearly led by Baker Mayfield, they were feeling themselves. They got a little too high on themselves and they got kicked in the teeth. Let's see how they rebound in year three. But again, I go back to they do like to collect names. And sometimes that's not the best way to build teams, right? It's a little bit obviously more – a little bit more, I guess, geared towards chemistry. It can be, I guess, as I'm sitting here searching for words trying to describe exactly what I'm feeling. But, a lot of moves being made in the NFL. Gurley to the Falcons today. Todd Gurley, formerly of the LA Rams, finding himself in Atlanta. And that's going to be exciting. You know, it's nothing like, I say, absence makes the heart grow fonder, but there's something to be said for change, too. It's exciting. You just mentioned the NFC South, Magnum. I mean, just think about what that's going to look like now with Bridgewater.
Yeah, those
Brees,
quarterbacks there.
Brady. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan.
I mean, and you know, the funny thing is a couple of them are aging, but they still can play.
A couple of them are aging. Let's I mean, we don't need to go down the whole gamut right now. We can maybe do it later in the week, but... or next week, it's got to be the oldest division in terms of quarterbacks, right? I mean, Bridgewater brings the number down a little bit, but Brees,
yeah.
Ryan,
well,
and Brady?
When you look at the NFC or the AFC East, that's probably the youngest.
Has to be.
Because you've got Darnold.
Yeah, it's all young. Josh.
Josh Allen. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
We don't know who's going to be Miami's quarterback.
That's a good point.
And as of now, it's Jared Stidham.
Well, you talk about not knowing who is going to be Miami's quarterback, Magnum. A lot of people were thinking that one of the people that had a good shot at being Miami's quarterback was potentially going to be former Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
Now, remember, tank for Tua.
Tank for Tua, right. Now, that's obviously, you know, Joe Burrow's sort of wrenching that plan a little bit. And obviously, you know, you go back to tank for Tua. You go back to prior, before the injury and everything that's happened with Tua. But this is really interesting as we talk about the Dolphins and the draft that's coming up. College prospects are now banned from visiting NFL teams due to the coronavirus pandemic. And with the doctors, they're not going to be able to take a look at these players, right, because they're not going to be visiting and it's not going to be the normal kind of setup that you get when you're heading into a draft. Tagovailoa will remain the draft's top medical mystery. These words from Adam Schefter, with teams being unable to get a look at him the way they wanted. And, yeah, that is all very true. And I guess it does kind of beg the question, Magnum, is there any other way we can do this? I mean, I know people think the NFL season is going to happen as planned. And it might. It might not. We don't really know. We're kind of in a holding pattern right now. I don't know. I'm like a lot of you. I don't think there is anything to believe. I think most intelligent, smart people, most doctors, most experts have shared that this is kind of going to be a play-it-by-ear thing. We know it's going to be a couple months for sure, but some experts have, you know, with resurgence in the virus, when people go back out in public and everything that goes in with that, we could be looking at 18 months. So we don't really know what we're going to be looking at. The draft is so important, Magnum. It can change the future of your franchise for 20 years.
Yeah, it really can. I mean, you look at teams that have missed on quarterbacks and they continue to miss.
Yeah.
So
Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I mean, as of now, the Jets really haven't hit any home runs. I mean, Darnold, I like Darnold, but will he turn out to be worth a top five pick? I guess we'll find out. But, you know, it's that's the position where if you reach or you screw it up, there's a good chance it sets you. Look at the way the Raiders were set back when they drafted Jamarcus Russell. How long did it set the Raiders? I mean,
a decade. About.
And then you look at a team like the Patriots, and they draft some guy in the sixth round who was a backup at the University of Michigan. He turns out to be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Now, if they don't get those looks at Tom Brady, dad bod Tom, back in 2000, yeah, whatever it was, I mean, that pudgy, pasty,
they probably,
white blob from the Bay Area that went to Michigan. I mean, no, for real. Like,
as much as I think Belichick was the genius, Brady played a huge role. I mean, not I'm not dismissing him as being an irrelevant piece here.
Well, I would hope not. He's the greatest quarterback to ever live. So,
and unfortunately, Belichick, the greatest coach to ever live. Yeah. So, you know, you combine those two, and it turned out to be insanity. But yeah, if Brady doesn't get that look, I mean, if this is 21 years ago,
mm-hmm.
20 years ago, what is it, 99, 2000 draft? If Brady doesn't get a look.
Right, and you just use the get a look. You have to look at people. You have to get eyes on them. In the case of Tua, I mean, you've got to be able to get in the room with this guy, touch the knee, get in there, ask him questions, get inside this kid.
Yeah.
Because your whole future, if you're the Miami Dolphins, at least for the foreseeable future, depends on this pick that you make. And then the flip side is what happens to these athletes with injury concerns. Excuse me, it's not just Tua. There's kids littered throughout this draft.
Well, what
with
happens
injury
to
concerns.
The small school?
Well, I'm
kids.
I'm gonna tell you that too, but I'm gonna tell you exactly right now what I would do if I'm a GM. I mean, it doesn't look like we're gonna postpone this draft at all, which means it is going to be an unprecedented draft in terms of you are flying. Okay, flying by the seat of your pants probably isn't the best phrasing to use in this situation, but it is certainly uncharted waters for GMs and for decision makers of NFL teams. It's just a fact, like. We haven't seen anything like this before. I'm going to tell you this right now, Magnum. I stay away from all injured players. If I can't, I mean, the draft is already a roll of the dice. Do you think I need to make that even more of a confusing choice on my end or a clouded choice, I should say? There's more questions now with player A, player B, Tua, whatever the case may be. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, unless you're 100% totally sure, you don't.
But how do you be 100% totally sure if you can't talk to the kid? You can't bring him out. You can't fly him. You can't do anything that you were normally doing.
You can't work him out. You can't have your doctors look at him. Yeah, I mean, there's so many unprecedented things right now in the world of sports.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never, ever seen anything. I saw something this morning from Adam Schefter. I retweeted out. If nothing takes place in April, the NHL game between the Ottawa Senators and the LA Kings was the last sporting event in this country. if we don't have another sporting event before May 1st, it'll be the first time since 1883 that there have been no sports in this country in the month of April.
That's pretty wild.
It's 140 years ago.
Well, you talk about, you know, last games airing. People are obviously scrambling to fill content, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of it going on, though.
Well, we saw for
some
sure.
Good stuff.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Fox Sports here locally that air the Golden Knights games. They're showing old Golden Knights games.
Yeah, AT&T Sports. Yeah,
AT&T Sports. Thank you. Specifically. A lot of games from year one, which obviously makes sense.
The
great Stanley Cup run, yeah. Right? But here's an interesting one. And I should mention that I might be doing some things with video games over the next couple weeks, so keep your eyes out. Potentially some streaming with one of our esports arena here in Vegas. I'll keep you up to date on that. But I bring up esports because some broadcast groups are filling, and this is true, they are filling their airwaves with esports. Check this out. NBC Sports in Washington is going to be airing video simulations of Wizards and Capitals games. This is legit.
That's interesting.
I go back a few years ago and talking to Adam Hill over on Cofield and Company. You know, I'm a big gamer, and I don't watch esports. I never really gave it a thought. I play them.
Yeah.
I've played video games for
30
years.
I don't want to watch other people play.
Right. I don't want to watch other people play them. So about 3 years ago, I watched an NHL tournament or some tournament on TNT. They were actually running esports pretty regularly on, and I think they've done Madden. They've done Madden on ESPN for a while as well. Point being, esports are on your televisions if you're scrolling through occasionally. But for whatever reason, one day I stopped on this NHL tournament, and I play NHL 20 and 19, and I play, you know, hockey ultimate team and draft my own teams and collect the cards, all that, yada, yada, yada. People that know, people that don't, that's fine. But I play games. And I decided to sit down and watch this NHL tournament they were airing. Now, I didn't watch it for very long, probably about 15, 20 minutes. But throughout the course of that viewing, I started to see things that I wanted to implement when I played.
Mm-hmm.
Strategy, little ticks, little things that you pick up if you play like a lot and you play at a high level, whatever. But then I also started like getting entertained. And then I realized, oh, wow, I started to see the pull from this standpoint. I go out in my driveway and I can play, you know, a game of horse, play a game of one-on-one, mess around and shoot the ball. But I would much rather prefer to go inside and watch LeBron James do the things that he's doing at 34 years old.
Yeah.
I would much rather in the 90s watch Michael Jordan win 6 championships, right? I kind of realized, oh, well, the logic still applies to esports. Yes, you want to play them yourselves,
mm-hmm.
but it is also very exciting to watch people much better than you do it as well.
Yeah, because you can learn things.
Exactly. So that was my brief introduction into the world of esports, but it looks like a lot of people are going to be getting their own introductions because I just mentioned NBC Sports in Washington is going to be airing simulated Wizards and Capitals games to end the season. And listen, Magnum, I don't know if you've been paying attention around social media, but like people have been, I mean, Adam Hill was like, I'm watching a simulation of the Chiefs and someone else, Kelly from Bleacher Report, Kelly in Vegas.
Yeah.
She obviously works with VSiN and has that podcast with John Murray over at the Westgate. She's been doing the same thing, tweeting about, you know, simulated Madden games. Like, it is,
yeah.
It's very interesting to see what's happening.
The Golden Knights
here
are actually going to be playing a game against the Detroit Red Wings via Twitch, I believe. I think that's today.
Really?
Yes. So I think Darren Millard is doing the presentation.
Okay.
And, you know, I got the email, but I lost it.
I want this. I want to go in there and take out everybody on the Vegas Golden Knights team.
Yeah,
make this happen for me, Magnum, because I know I can beat all of them in NHL just because I'm a well above 500 online player.
So,
remember earlier in the year we were doing that tournament over at GameWorks where we had anybody that could come in and win a signed Sugar Ray Leonard glove if they could beat the champ?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no one did. I went 5-0. Now, I'm sure there's people in the city that can beat me. Finding them and getting the word out would probably be a little bit more difficult. I would love to go in and humble those Vegas Golden Knights.
So I guess the Golden Knights are supposed to play the Red Wings tomorrow.
Okay. I like it.
In a real game. So I don't know if they're actually playing someone
in a real
from
game.
The Red Wings.
Not in a real game.
No. It's a NHL
Video
20.
Yeah. Right.
But tomorrow night was supposed to be the game against the Red Wings here at T-Mobile Arena.
Oh, okay.
So, looks like Big D is involved, and Darren Millard will be providing the content. So, it's interesting. There's a computer opponent playing as the Red Wings.
Oh.
So, Big D is playing as the Golden Knights, and the computer is playing the Red Wings.
Ah.
So, but still, I mean, that's available on their Twitch.
Okay, I want. Let's do it this way. I want to face Big D, and I'll be the Red Wings.
There you go.
I'm gonna be the heel here. let's go. I'm all for it.
Well, you know, the Golden Knights have never beaten the Red Wings at T-Mobile Arena,
and they wouldn't if you let me be the Red Wings either.
They'd be 0-3.
I'd win 12-0. I would make sure of it. I am not going out like any punk. But as I said, keep an eye out. Keep listening to the show. I might have some news in terms of me getting into some tournaments and doing some esports here because I got a little bit more time on my hands. Got a little bit more time on my hands, as you do as well, Vegas, as you do as well. Speaking of having time on your hands, been talking a little bit more pro wrestling here on the show because, well, pro wrestling is the only show in town right now. And I said, yeah, you looked at ESPN last weekend. There was a lot of UFC. They were re-airing, Donald Cerrone and Conor McGregor. They're repurposing a lot of their content, right? Well, I wondered, with, you know, WrestleMania quickly approaching and WWE still putting on shows, they're doing Friday Night SmackDown tonight. Rob Gronkowski is going to be appearing and announcing his plans for his run in the WWE. That'll be on Fox at local time, 8 o'clock. But also, going forward, on March 22nd, March 29th, and April 5th, ESPN is going to be airing past WrestleManias in their entirety. WrestleMania 30 on March 22nd, WrestleMania 32 on March 29th, and WrestleMania 35, which was last year's, on April 5th.
So for the average, I just started watching wrestling. Do you remember the main events for those WrestleManias?
Oh, man, no, I'm terrible at that. Yeah. 30 was really good. 30 was down in New Orleans,
okay.
And it was the kind of culmination of a great story for a wrestler, Daniel Bryan, who was kind of like a everyman. The guy with the yes chance.
Married to one of the Bella twins?
Yes, correct, okay. Correct. That was one of my favorite WrestleManias of all time. So if you aren't a wrestling fan, or if you were and then you kind of drifted away, I would say March 22nd, which is Sunday, at 7 o'clock Eastern, March 22nd, that would be the one you want to watch. A lot of good storylines. And you didn't – listen, if you watch any of these, they're going to – like any good soap opera, they're going to fill you in on the storyline with packages throughout. I mean, that's kind of what WrestleMania does. They know even when they aired live that a lot of people are tuning in just on that day just because it's WrestleMania. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And it doesn't surprise me, as I said, with, you know, pro wrestling being the only show in town, it would make sense that you would kind of repurpose some of that, I guess, you know, content. And also try to bring in new viewers because WrestleMania is going to be live. And as we talked about earlier this week on the show, Rob Gronkowski, Super Bowl winner, one of the greatest tight ends of all time, is going to be hosting this WrestleMania coming up April 4th and 5th, April 5th and 6th, whatever it is. Two-night WrestleMania. So it's going to be a two-night WrestleMania in front of a crowdless audience, which is obviously going to be a little bit different, but I would expect the WWE is going to make the most of it. So that's going to be interesting to follow. Speaking of combat sports, transition over to Dana White of the UFC. We talked about him yesterday on the show, right, Magnum?
He's back.
Yeah, unfortunately. I really don't like this one at all, but doesn't come as a surprise because on some level it feels like he's attacking my profession, going after the media. But we kind of chronicled UFC president Dana White after UFC 248, not even 2 weeks ago here in Vegas, after Yoel Romero and Israel Adesanya went to battle, sort of, kind of a boring fight. It's not the point. Dana White infamously said, "I don't give a blank about coronavirus." He's been very flippant about coronavirus. He threw an event in Brazil on Saturday in front of no crowd, but none of the fighters had been tested for coronavirus. Brazil obviously having a huge outbreak. President Bolsonaro testing positive for COVID-19. Brazil having an outbreak, as many other portions of the country, the world are, the planet. So Dana's been very flippant about that. He's been very casual and kind of just carefree. We know he keeps in regular contact with President Donald Trump. They're friends. He's made that very clear. And a lot of this feels very Trumpian in the kind of responses that he's giving to people critiquing Dana on his, again, kind of careless disregard for a virus that is shutting down our entire planet. Like, that's, like, I don't really know how else to put that. Like, I'm trying to frame this as best I can.
Yeah, you really can't.
The entire planet is shutting down, and you have this one lone dumbass kind of screaming into a void, like, "We're going to get it done, and we're going to continue, and we're going to be the fourth sports organization back, and no one's going to stop us because we're the UFC. Ah!" Like, dude, save it. Like, seriously. I mean, I've covered the sport for 13 years. I like Dana White very much in many different ways. This is when I don't like Dana White. I love his passion. I love his competitiveness. I love his drive. I love the fact that he is direct. And yes, he is screaming into a void. I like that. He's not like every other sports commissioner, right? Which is, I guess, what you would call his role. Yes, he's a president, but he is the voice in the face of the USC. Very similar to a Roger Goodell. I would still much rather have Dana White than Roger Goodell, because at least I know what Dana White is thinking almost at all times, because he's going to tell you. And this, well, this has never been more clear than the example today. Dana White talking about the response that he's seen from fans and from media, kind of critiquing his, well, what I brought up. I don't give a blank about the coronavirus. And then kind of the other things he's been saying about how he's going to do everything he can to, you know, put on fights. And they're going to be the first organization to have fights. And they've got the best doctors. And they're not quitting like these other organizations, essentially. That was the vibe he was giving off. Well, here's the problem. You and I, Magnum, we have a lot of time on our hands. Well, so does Dana White. Because Dana White's not putting on fights right now.
Yeah.
So Dana White, a man who likes to argue with people on the internet. Dana White, a man who at different points in his life has been highly combustible, who sometimes I think actually enjoys just sitting on Twitter and social media and kind of picking and prodding at people and throwing one-liners and calling people dummies and, hey, if you don't like it, don't buy it. This is very much the Dana White of the last 15 years. Yeah. Now, since he's sitting at home, he's got even more time on his hands, and I would imagine he's reading everything from every media member, because he came out and had this to say about the media and about the response to coronavirus, and again, it felt very Trumpy, and quote, saying, here's the reality. We will be up and running before any other sport will. This was White to MMA Junkie, USA Today content partner. Our sport's different. We have our own arena next door, so we will fulfill every fight for every fighter this year, and we'll get this thing done. And now here's where it transitions to the media. Think about this. Go online and look at some of these people. And this isn't a knock. This is just a fact. The weakest, wimpiest people on earth cover the biggest, baddest sport on earth. What do you expect them to say? What do you think they're going to say?
Yeah, I don't like that at
well,
all.
Well, listen. Sports writers, radio heads, I fall into both of those categories, have been fat mouth breathers for as long as, I don't know.
It's existed.
It's kind of the brand, right? I would even throw myself in that category. So I fully understand what Dana White's saying. I can lob insults with the best of them. There's very few people on this planet that enjoy calling someone stupid to their face more than I do. I do it regularly. I actually do it more in person than I do online, which is odd. But I feel like online lives forever, and you know, you say it's someone's face, kind of. It's a more personal kind of fleeting. It's there and it's gone. And now, if you think they're an idiot, then it doesn't really matter what they feel afterwards, because well, they're an idiot. Yeah,
you don't really care about their feelings.
Yeah,
at that
exactly.
Point.
Dana White, he puts his stuff in print, and it lives forever, and it does follow him. Throughout his career, he's had multiple run-ins where he's had to apologize. I think about 10, 15 years ago, he called a female reporter the word that you would never want to call any female, let alone a female media member. It's that word.
Yikes.
Yeah, he had to apologize for that. There's been other instances. Dana White has never really liked the media, very similar to his buddy Trump. And this, again, attacking the media and calling them weak and wimpy because they're critiquing his response to coronavirus and wanting him to use his head. I mean, the media has a job to tell it as they see it, to report the facts if that's what their job is, if they're a journalist, right?
Yeah.
And in the case of being an analyst, your job is to tell the truth as the truth is that you see it. The truth that I see it, Dana, is that the entire planet is shutting down. You idiot. The entire planet shutting down. So the people that are critiquing you are scientists, people that have dedicated their lives to pandemics, viruses, medicine.
I don't know what it is that people still aren't grasping about this.
I don't either.
Governor DeSantis in Florida.
And you know what?
Are you not grasping this?
Right. And here's the other thing. I am the world's biggest skeptic. I'm going to be very brutally honest. I have never trusted any government of the United States of America. We could do a whole show on that. Or you can just follow me on Twitter, where you're going to get a real good idea of what I believe and what I think about this world. But when people are dropping dead, right? And I'm hearing stories now, multiple stories, two different people, one in Florida and one on the East Coast. Now, two people that I know that have known someone that has died, right? It is going to grow. People are dying. I have no problem with staying indoors for however long it takes. And I'm not a sheep, and I'm not following it, and I'm not, you know, I'm not backing my, I can puff my chest out, and I can scream, and I can yell, and I can insult with the best of them. But now is not the time for that. And I would hope that Dana White would understand his place in the world and the influence that he has, because now his other little minions and other little morons are parroting that. It's not that serious.
Yeah, and that's,
it's just the flu. It's just whatever. I can't believe we're shutting down all our sports. Oh, really? Stop thinking about this in terms of sports. Sports are insignificant. I know that this is a sports radio show. I love sports. If you listen to this show, you know I love sports. And I've loved sports for every single one of the 36 years that I've been on this planet. But some things are more important. And this messaging is ridiculous. It's dangerous. And Dana White's desire to chase being the first one back in the realm of athletics could have dire consequences. And I don't know what more I can say. It's unfortunate, and I hope Dana White starts to get the clue. I really hope at some point him and everybody like him starts realizing just how serious this is. And you need to stop worrying about your fights. I know you're running a business. I know you got people to take care of. That's something else he said as he after he insulted the media. He said, listen, the media can talk as much blank as they want. First of all, Dana, they're not talking blank. They're analyzing and trying to bring fact to a situation where you're just calling everybody wusses. He said, listen, the media can talk as much blank as they want. They don't feed families. They don't take care of people, take care of blanking people. They don't have people that count on them. Okay, Dana. That would imply that I don't have a family, that I don't have a wife, that we all have no idea. She works for a casino here in Vegas. And I work for sports radio. You don't think I'm concerned about the future of my family and my life? You don't think that I have people counting on me? And that shows you the ego. And I get what he's saying. He's got 350 employees. I understand. He runs a global brand. It's a billion-dollar company. But just because your billion-dollar company isn't the same as my $1,000 life and my $1,000 family— Don't say ridiculous stuff like that I don't have people counting on me. We're all in this together. And the sooner that he realizes that, the better. I need to take a break. I need to calm down. Getting very worked up. My pits are starting to sweat, and I've been using natural hippie deodorant. This is not good. We'll take a couple-minute break. We'll be right back here on the Mac and Tech.
You're listening to the Mac Attack.
I like how I've become the default weapons and ammo guy over on Cofield and Company. I don't know if you saw that, but Cofield posed a question out to his listeners earlier this week. If you had to pick anyone from the Cofield and Company lineup to rely on, and then he listed food, water, alcohol, medicine, and then guns and ammo. From Pritch to Adam to Cofield, all of them said unquestionably that guns and ammo goes to Big Mac.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've seen that. Is it because that I'm from Indiana?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just assumed that. Now, that begs a question. If I get that respect when it comes to guns and ammo, which is fine. You know, you're from Indiana, the land of Pence. You know, pew, pew. I get it. Why don't I get that respect with the ball, man? Why don't I get that respect?
Hootin' us, tootin' us, shootin' us. Bob-tail, wildcat in the west.
Pew, pew. Well used, well used. A little bit long of a drop.
Yes.
But we could work on it. We could work on it. And also, can we work on the opening round? Can we get that back?
I have it.
We have it redone?
No.
I want the new opening round. We've been talking about this.
You don't want this? You don't want me to play it?
Yeah, go ahead. Just for all time's sake.
It's the opening round. Finish. Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Round one. Yeah, there's that sound. It's been a while since I've heard that.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've heard that. No, but what I'm saying is, if I get that respect from Cofield for the guns and ammo, why don't I get that respect from the guys for my basketball skills? Because I am from the land of Hoosiers. I have a ball right now in my trunk.
Fatality.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
I got a couple more.
Okay. But I'm saying, man, I feel like I'm disrespected. I feel like, oh, because he's loud and he's got, you know, shaved head and...
That was pathetic.
Hey, I can see where we're going with this. I like it.
I got a couple.
Maybe a little bit of a view into the future of the Mac Attack.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I just want the respect on both ends. That's
all
I'm saying.
Well, so what did they think Steve would be good for?
I think Steve's like, I think someone said like water.
Okay.
Which I mean, I kind of get, but I also, that dude's been sharing pictures of like TP shopping for like 3 weeks. Like there was a TP section and he's definitely the TP guy. Like if I need TP, I'm for sure going to Cofield.
So he's got the goods on the TP.
Yes. Vegas. If you need TP.
Find Steve Cofield. Yes,
if we break out the torches and pitchforks and we're taking back our land, go after Steve because he has all the TP. Don't go after me because I'm the guns and weapons expert, which I'm not. But I'm going to ride that reputation.
Yeah, you should.
I should.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of it.
This is the last time I say I'm not the guns and ammo guy. I'm definitely the guns and ammo guy.
Yeah.
Stay away from me. Wild times, wild times. Speaking of wild times, Magnum, I know you had tickets to go out to Japan to see the Olympics this summer. Now, the Tokyo Olympic Games are scheduled to commence on July 24th. We got a little offshore booking here. The yes on it happening is plus 325, Magnum. The no is minus 550. I'm guessing you're sitting as a no guy right now?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, the entire Olympics, you think?
I think it'll... I understand that Japan has had a relatively low...
Yeah. But you can't bring everyone in cross.
Well, that's just it, right? Especially with what's happening in, like you mentioned, Singapore.
Yeah.
You know, China has had no new domestic cases the last 2 days, but they have had people bring it in. Taiwan is finally up to 100 cases. They had done such a good job, but now it's people bringing it back from other parts of the world. So,
and people thinking that since they're asymptomatic or that they've maybe recovered, they're still carrying the virus and still could potentially be contagious.
Now
there's a lot we don't know about this.
Because in Japan, they're only testing people with symptoms.
Mm. I don't like that.
Well, so far it seems
better than America, where we're only testing athletes.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Jeez.
So I guess that's an improvement.
Maybe I don't know. But we're testing asymptomatic athletes too.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Everyone can get it if you're rich. It's the American way.
Yeah. No, they're paying private companies to do it, but where are these private companies getting the tests from?
Money talks.
It does. It's a shame.
I don't know. This isn't some great mystery.
I will say this. I'd rather be in Japan right now because I'd certainly feel a hell of a lot more safer than I do with things in America right now.
Yeah.
They seem to be prepared for it if it does happen, but I would guess it's not going to happen. The Olympics are not going to happen.
Yeah, so what do you do? Postpone it a year? I mean, we could, right? Because the Olympics are every 4 years.
Yeah,
I think holding it a year after isn't a huge deal.
I feel like the blow to Japan's economy would just be devastating, which is why they're trying to hold on to as long as they possibly can. Yeah. But maybe there's some type of insurance that it has to get to a certain date. I don't know. But Shinzo Abe, who is the Japanese prime minister, he has been very forthcoming in saying, look, as of now, the games are going on. My guess, they are not going to bring in this virus from all over the world to devastate the country.
Right. And then from however many hundred countries or however many participants.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 200 countries.
And you're going to send them home?
Yeah.
Back to their countries?
Yeah.
And we know what Olympic Village can be like.
Yeah.
The reputation is that. Speaking of
Olympic Village,
I have heard great stories about Olympic Village from one of the greatest Olympians in American history, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. Got good news. Mark Henry going to be coming on the show this Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah. Mark's going to come on, talk about these Olympics in Japan, get his thoughts on what he thinks is going to happen. Maybe tell some old Olympic stories, talk a little pro wrestling and whatever the hell else he wants. Big Dallas Cowboys fan. Mark Henry is the world's strongest man this Tuesday on the Mac Attack. I just talked to him on the drive over here. We're not going to be doing our Saturday show tomorrow on satellite. So I was like, hey, man, I miss talking to you for a week. You know, I'm starting to talk more pro wrestling on the local show. Come on by. Let's have a little conversation.
So he the sexual chocolate thing is long gone, right?
No.
No, it's still there?
No, he multiple personalities with Mark Henry. Yeah. You never know if you're going to get sexual chocolate or the world's strongest man or the purveyor of the Hall of Pain. I never. He can go equally from scaring the absolute bejesus out of me and then also making me laugh and being hilarious. So being sexual chocolate. I think he very much likes the sexual chocolate history.
Well, I think a lot of people would.
Well, it was a great gimmick.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible, really.
That was a time when I was really into wrestling when he was Sexual Chocolate, but I remember Eddie Guerrero was Latino heat as well.
For sure.
So the WWE, I think at that time it was the WWF still, they really played into that genre for a while, and then it got well, it's kind of gotten away from that.
Yeah, it's a PG era now.
Yeah.
It's a little bit
but,
different.
I mean, I came up in the Attitude Era.
A lot of personality in that era.
Yes, yeah. You know.
And Mark Henry.
Mark Henry was one of them.
Well, Mark Henry had come in as
Nation of Domination.
Well, that was it. He came in as the world's strongest man, gold medalist, Olympian, this true, true American hero. And then he turned into his comedic element of, again, Sexual Chocolate. And then he did, as you said, the Nation of Domination, which—
Which I liked.
It is the great— I do this damn near every show I do with Mark Henry. I beg and plead with him to bring back the Nation of Domination. There's a trio of African-American wrestlers right now called The New Day. I think a lot of you have heard them.
Kofi Kingston.
Xavier Woods, and Big E Langston.
The longest reigning tag team champions.
I mean, they are arguably the greatest tag team of all time.
I still like Demolition, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking 5-6 years of a trio run where they have been at the top of their game. They've kind of done the same thing, and they're still over popular with the crowd, if you will. Anyway, young African-American wrestlers, and I bring up the Nation of Domination every time because Nation of Domination, for those of you that don't remember, it was in the 90s. They were a Black Power outfit, essentially.
Yeah, they were Black Panthers,
they were basically Black Panthers with Farouk and Mark
AKA
Henry.
Ron
the
Simmons.
Rock.
The Rock was in there,
Dwayne Johnson started really
D-Lo
his
Brown.
Career. Yep. So it was this really great faction, and I tell Mark all the time, what better time than now to bring back the Nation of Domination? This world needs it now more than ever. All right, I got a perfect question. With the quarantine and with coronavirus sweeping the nation, a lot of wacky questions being brought up on social media. I'm going to ask Magnum this question. He's going to answer when we come back. You have 82 games to score 20 points total, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds all season. If you succeed, you win a 5-year, $250 million contract with the NBA. If you fail, you die. Do you accept the challenge? I don't know. We'll find out when we come back here on The Mac Attack.
You're listening to The Mac Attack.
All right, Magnum. You join any NBA team. You have 82 games to score 20 total points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds all season. If you succeed, you get $250 million. If you fail, you die. Do you take the bet?
Well, I need some guarantees before
All right,
I take the bet.
You got 20 guaranteed minutes per game, and nobody knows that you die if you don't achieve these goals. I don't know what that means.
Well, that would mean that nobody would feel sorry for me and let me score.
Oh.
Look
at the psychology behind that. You knew
what? Okay. What is it? 20?
20 points.
Total.
10 assists and 5 rebounds all season, 82 games.
I don't know about the rebounds part.
I mean, you're going to play 20 minutes a game out of 82 games and the ball's not going to fall in your lap 5 times the entire season?
Yeah,
you can
maybe
stay at the 3-point line and a huge brick comes out, play the wing, and it lands in your lap.
Yeah, maybe. I think I would, because I feel like...
Do it all day.
I mean, if now I'd have to get into game shape and all that, but I feel like I could do it.
I feel like it would be better if we just did it fat.
Well, I don't want to get shot at the end, so...
We didn't say anything about being shot, just dying.
I don't want to die at the end either, so... I kind of like it. I like the question.
Really got me thinking. Really stimulated my brainstem.
I feel like I could score 20 points. I mean, all I would need to do is average. I mean, I can shoot free throws.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say that they can't come from the free throw line.
That's true.
So
if you just go out taking
and get fouled a couple times a game and make 2 free throws a game.
I feel like I'd just be like Trae Young throwing it up from the paint. You know, the little known story about me, 1993, I went up to Central Michigan for the return. Might have been 94. It was 93 or 94. It was the return. The homecoming camp of Chris Webber's basketball camp. He spent his first year in Golden State, and he had come back to his home state of Michigan, and he put on a basketball camp. I realized soon, very, very soon. My mom was trying to be cool, you know, like do something for me, like maybe
exciting. Of course, yeah.
She didn't know, though, that it was like an actual camp for actual basketball players. So it was 11-year-old me and then a bunch of AAU talents, 13 years old, 14 years old, you know, across the Midwest.
Guys who were really good.
Yeah. I'm guessing there were probably at least 1 or 2 NBA players in there of the future.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be hard. I mean, I doubt that
at
they
Chris
weren't
Webber's
in there.
Camp, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was also the same week that Jalen Rose got drafted by the Nuggets, and I remember Jalen showing up the very next day after he got drafted, and he was just dripping in diamonds and gold. I was just it's one of those things that you remember. It's not you haven't seen that amount of jewelry ever in your life. Point being was, I learned very quickly, Magnum, that I was out of my element, and I wasn't going to see a lot of playing time. I was very much the scrub that came in with 2 minutes left, like, hey, let's get Fat Boy in so, you know, his parents won't complain. And
yeah.
He actually had an experience at camp. I'm telling you, every time leather hit my fingertips, I was firing.
You have to at that point.
As soon as the – I don't care where I was. If paint, Trae Young, bam, money. Nah, it wasn't good. Yeah. I probably didn't make anything, but I was getting my shots off. I'm going to get mine.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine
– this would be me with this scenario.
Guaranteed 20 minutes. That's almost half the game.
Yeah, as soon as I touch the ball, I'm firing.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if you got lucky, right? Maybe you have – like, the key would be to get them early.
Right.
So this way, you can focus on something else, right? Like, if I got my 5 rebounds in, the first 10 games,
yeah,
I don't care about rebounds at all.
Yeah.
And assists.
I think points is what I would go for because they're the hardest.
Yeah, 20 points.
And if I get to, 8 points or halfway through the season, I can run.
Yeah.
I can head to, Argentina or, I don't know, non-extradition or where I can disappear. I feel like there's not a lot of places I could actually disappear to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I know where I would disappear to, but...
yeah, but you know what? I guess I do have the advantage. I could shave off my face.
Yeah, I can't.
My beard, and facial recognition wouldn't be able to find me.
Or I could grow the beard.
Right. That's true, but it would take you long.
Yeah.
You'd have to essentially self-quarantine for a year.
Uh-oh.
Get ahead of it. Now, maybe this is your chance.
See, now,
you can develop an alter ego during this quarantine.
Do you not know me with the beard? You've never seen me with the beard?
I feel like the first year I was here, you had a little bit of a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had, not like yours, but I had the beard going for a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, who has a beard like mine? It's the best beard.
Problem with mine is mine's a little gray, so.
What are you saying? I mean, mine's very gray. Yeah.
See, I've never really looked that close.
Yeah, mine's very gray. I'm glad that we've done a show now for, I feel like, half a year, and you haven't been able to tell that my beard is getting very gray.
I don't look around because it's gray on the side, so I'm not really looking at the side of your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a little bit in the front, but yeah.
All right, final question as we close out the first week of quarantine. This is from Poker Pro in Las Vegas, Daniel Ingranu, one of the best poker players in the world.
Yeah.
He asked a question. You are quarantined for 3 months and you have all the water you need. You can pick only one other drink to have for the entire time. Which of these four do you choose? Beer, wine, soft drink sodas, or coffee? Which one are you taking?
Well, I don't drink coffee, so that's out.
Me too.
I'm not, you know, it's weird. I'm not a huge beer drinker either.
So it's down to wine or soda?
And the problem is I drink way too much soda and it's really bad for me. So I would drink wine.
Well,
I would go with some red wine.
Help you sleep.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, Magnum, caffeine absolutely dominating this poll. This was a poll on Twitter. 30,000 people almost voted on this. The winner was coffee, a resounding winner. 8% higher than anyone. 34% said coffee. 26.4% said soda. 13% said wine. 26% said beer. Caffeine destroying alcohol.
Yeah, I don't want the caffeine. I want to sleep.
If you put soda and coffee together... they're absolutely destroying wine and beer. I like that. Yeah, I don't need caffeine. I need to not have caffeine.
Yeah. I don't want anything to do with that stuff right now.
I don't want to stay up. I just want to fall asleep. Oh, man.
I'm already having problems sleeping. I don't need any more additional issues.
Just call me, man.
Make it worse.
I'll put you to sleep. I've been mentioning it on every show, friends. The Red Cross is in dire need of blood, right? So you can go out to Red Cross. What's the website? I want to get it right. RedCrossBlood.org. RedCrossBlood.org. You can also donate the Blood Donor app, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. All of those options will get you in line with somebody who can tell you where you can go out and give blood, because right now it is needed, especially here in the Las Vegas Valley. So that is my final message from the week. I appreciate you guys rocking with us Monday to Friday, and we will be back on Monday to chop it up again. We'll see you then, friends. Stay safe out there, all right?